the sons and the daughters see. Oh, I'm surrendering my all
to you, Lord.
I surrender to the King. Sing that chorus again. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
I hear it growing loud.
Oh, yes, we do.
It's the song of your redeemed.
Oh,
as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes this anthem.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song, a song to the King.
Let the worshipers arise.
Good to be in church tonight. Brother Terry, you don't act like you're too glad to be here. You're happy to be in the house of the Lord. I know if anybody is, you are. Isn't it good to be back in church tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. I started to come up a little bit early and put a roll of paper towels beside each bench because I knew you was going to be slobbering. You're so happy to be back in the house of the Lord. It's just good to be in church, isn't it? If we slobber tonight, just slobber in the Lord. We're glad to be in the house of God. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. You better sing that second verse again, buddy. You slobber, we'll wipe it off of you. Amen. Let's sing with all of our heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, it's good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Father, I hear it growing louder.
Oh,
the song of your redeemed. As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes this anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song.
Father,
I see that you are drawing.
Oh, yes, you are, Lord.
Light
to the King. Let the worshipers arise.
Praise the Lord. Well, old Slewfoot might as well get ready. We're going to have some church tonight, and I got a feeling his head's going to be stepped on several times tonight. Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you too? Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Melvin Lamphere sends this in. Sister Gail has recovered sufficiently to be allowed her to be moved to extended care. She will be moved Monday to Miller's Mercy Manor in Marion, Indiana. Please keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Pray that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks. Sister Linda Crest says to please pray for our neighbor, Jack Womack. He's in the hospital. They have put him in a medically induced coma, and he's on life support. Thank you, and may God bless. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Al Stevens says to please pray for a Christian brother that I work with. His name is Joe Hicks, and on Wednesday the doctor wants to do heart surgery and do a bypass and a shunt, among other things, through his neck and arteries. He is afraid of this surgery. It will take at least 5 hours, so we're asking that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation tonight. Sister Mary Williams from Texas called to let us know that her grandfather, Melvin Anthem, from Hammond, Louisiana, passed away this week. He was the pastor of Open Door Tabernacle in Hammond, Louisiana. Please remember the family and the church family in prayer as you pray. So we want to remember those needs tonight. Elwanda Clark sends this in. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the daughter of Doug and Myrna Sadler from West Virginia. I've been into your church many years ago. Still listen to the service online, which is a blessing. However, I am writing to request prayer. I had surgery 3 weeks ago, and I'm in recovery. But in the process of it, my back is hurting very bad. Why, I don't know or understand, but I can hardly sleep or anything because I'm in so much pain. But I know that God is a healer. I'm a Christian. If you do not mind, please remember me in your prayers that this pain in my body would go away. So we want to just commit that unto the Lord tonight and ask God to be mindful of that situation. Sister Patricia Ard from Indiana called to request prayer for her son, who is currently back home and recovering from a heroin addiction. She asked that God would give her and her husband the strength, wisdom, and guidance to support their son as he overcomes this addiction in his life. So certainly a need that we want to pray about tonight. I want to pray for the grandson of Peggy Kirkpatrick from Missouri. He is involved in a legal matter where he is being tied to a crime, and his family knows that he is innocent. Pray for God to intervene to help in this situation. Let's remember that need tonight. Brother Jerry Phillips, sick in body, unable to be in the service tonight. Let's pray for him. I want to pray for Jeff Nunley. He went to the Philippines, had a couple of seizures while there. So we want to also Sister Linda Nunley from health problems. Let's pray for her tonight. I want to pray for Lorraine Hall, having trouble breathing, not eating well. Let's commit that to the Lord. And Sister Brenda Harmon turns in this prayer request for her family, her husband, and one of the children, very sick, I guess suffering from this flu. So let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of those folks tonight. Brother Ron Sherman's mother, Mercedes, is in the hospital with pneumonia, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of those folks. Sister Carla West, who streams our services, and from Narvae, Florida, requests special prayer for a painful physical condition, that she is seeking the Lord's guidance for surgery. She has confidence in and desires the church's prayers. So we want to remember that tonight. Brother Fred Green had positive results on a surgery that he had on the 17th. We'll be having another surgery this coming Monday. So we certainly want to thank the Lord for bringing Brother Fred through and pray that the Lord would be with him on this surgery that he's facing. Sister Sandy Murray, suffering from pneumonia in both lungs in Holston Valley Hospital. So we want to remember her tonight. This is a testimony. Don't say who it's from, but I would like to give the Lord a public thanksgiving for a miraculous healing of a very serious physical condition that only he or surgery could take care of. And he, by his grace, miraculously took care of it. I testify that only he could have done it, and praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? Let's stand to our feet tonight as we take these needs to the Lord. Brother Terry, why don't you just come tonight? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service and ask him to have his divine will in all these prayer requests tonight. God bless you, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Amen.
It sure is good to be back in church. You know, the services, about four services that because of sickness were canceled, and we had a few services that we missed because of snow and so forth. It gives you just a little bit of glimpse. Perhaps, you know, we don't know, but what may happen in the future when they close the doors and we really miss the presence of our brothers and sisters and bringing all the licks of fire together to worship him. I'm sure each one of us can appreciate more now than what we did a few weeks ago. What a privilege it is. A privilege it is to be in the house of God in these last days. Let's join our faith together as we pray for those needs. Lord Jesus, truly we count it a wonderful privilege to be back in the house of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity. The doors are still open with the freedom that we still enjoy so rapidly being taken away from us, but we so enjoy that freedom yet today. And we're happy, Lord, we can worship Thee in spirit and truth according to the dictates of our heart. We're so happy, Lord, You sent us a messenger. Lord, we cannot stress how much, we cannot say thanks enough because You sent us truth. We was blinded by Laodicean blindness. We had the Laodicean flu, Lord. We were truly sick in that respect, Lord. But You opened up our eyes and You healed our spiritual bodies, as it were. And You gave us understanding and revelation and happiness and joy. And You pointed us toward the North Star, and You set our compass straight, and just so many things, Lord, You have done for us, and healed our bodies, and saved our children, and blessed our homes, and give us the ministry to sit under, and You give us brothers and sisters in Christ, and families. Lord, just so many things, Lord. We're just so happy to be Your children. We got many requests that I'm holding in my hand, too numerous to remember, but Lord, many of the locals, some out of state, some different places around the country, but You've heard each one. You know each one of them, and we know that there's faith in the building. We know that the only one thing, there's one condition to see each one of these healed, and that is, the prophet said, can we appropriate that faith? Each person is healed on the basis of faith. Can we believe it? It's already been paid for. He said, all things are possible if you can just only believe. I pray, Lord, for each need now, and I pray for the further part of the service, every song that's sung, every exhortation, especially the coming forth of the Word. Lord, may we just listen with attentive ears, and may we pull on the gift of God. May we receive something that we can build spiritual muscles as we leave the building tonight. Tomorrow we come back, get more faith muscles to fight the devil Monday morning when he comes on the scene. Give us these things, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise You. We're so happy to be back in Your presence. Meet with us tonight, we pray. We love You. Anoint the speaker is our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. If you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You ought to have a... Brother Jimmy, you may have to get wash tubs to put their money in tonight. They've not given a few services, but you give us unto the Lord tonight. If you're a visitor, we want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. There was, probably you saw it on the screen tonight, the adoption party for Sarah Sherman. It was posted on the overhead projector tonight, stating that it will be tomorrow. But due to all the sickness, it has been rescheduled for Sunday, April the 12th at 6 p.m. That is in two weeks. Everyone is invited. Sister Becky Johnson and Sister Yodi Bailey asked me to make that announcement, so remember that. Let's sing a song. We'll go right on into the service tonight. Are you looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord? Are you glad to be in church tonight? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the darkness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with cries. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, let's sing with all of our heart. He came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
He made a way when there was no way that I could see.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul and calmed all my fear.
Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking
for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus appeared.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Said, this one is mine. And I'm safe with no harm. Cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me.
Let's sing about it now, church. He came looking for me.
Was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Well, now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
And he made a way. There was no way that I could see.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Oh, now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. The Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. I guess somebody's going to speak tonight. Brother Donnie, I guess, will be our speaker tonight. We'll see. We'll just see. But it's going to be good. I do know that. It's going to be good tonight. Amen. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to sing it tonight. Like you hadn't ever sung it in a long time. The dove leads the lamb. Aren't you glad about it, John? We're going to help him too. Let's sing it with all of our hearts tonight.
Well, if you don't help me, we might not make it through it. I'm glad to be in church tonight. And I ain't said it in a long time, but I'm still glad that God sent me a prophet. I'm glad I can see the message of this hour with all my heart.
The Spirit and the Bride, the same come. The elect let the feeling stir inside their heart. Cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her side, and the dove leads a lamb once again. A fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. She's been washed in the blood of God's own Son, with a righteousness that's not our own. We stand just before His throne, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's still hearing the shout of her token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're still hearing the shout of our King in our midst. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church? I sure hate there's so much sickness and so much stuff going on. I'm glad y'all feeling better. And those of you that wasn't sick, I'm glad y'all wasn't sick. I hope nobody else gets sick. I'm glad I'm better. I'm really glad I'm better. Amen. I love church. I just love going to the house of God. Amen. I miss it when we're not here. I'm not sure what people do when they don't go to church, but amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight, if you would. I want to speak to you on the spice of charity. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, I don't understand why anybody in the right mind wouldn't want this. Do you? But yet there are millions and millions of people who don't want it. But what I further don't understand is people who say they believe this message who don't want this. But I know I want it. I have it and I want more of it. Let's pray over the word now, if you would. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, dear God, that we could be back together in church. Lord, having to miss and so much sickness going on, and Lord, it's just so good to be back in your presence. But Lord, it's not just your presence alone that we hungered for. It was the presence of the other members of the body that we're a part of. Because we love one another and we're a part of one another. And Lord, I wouldn't want it to be in heaven just me and you. I mean, you're wonderful. You're absolutely wonderful. But heaven's too big just for me and you. Or you and this church. I'm so glad that you've got people all over this world who love you. And Lord, I've been privileged to meet many, many thousands of them. And I'm glad that we're part of a family, Lord. So when we don't get together and something comes up and hinders us, Lord, we miss our family. So we want to thank you that we could come back to church tonight. Heavenly Father, I have in my hand this prayer cloth for this Sister West down in Florida. You see, Lord, the needs in her body. You see, Lord, what the doctors have told her, that she's going to need surgery. But she's asking for your divine intervention in her life. Lord, I pray over this prayer cross tonight, and I'm asking you, Father, as we send it out to her, in the name of Jesus, may you work a miracle for our sister. Anoint me tonight, Lord, and help me. Father God, may you speak to our hearts from the word, in Jesus' name. And the saint said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I desire you to pray for me because I'm nervous tonight. It's been a while since I've preached, so I'm still learning how to preach, I guess you'd say. And I know that may sound crazy to you, but if you was a real preacher, you'd understand. It didn't take very long for me after coming into the message till I began to realize that there was an element of people. It happened within probably 6 months after I came to the message in 1983, that there was an element of people that did not understand the importance of the real love of God. I run into a particular individual, and this individual was an argumentative type of person, wanted to argue and debate and fuss and, you know, just in one thing and out after another. And when I began to study about love, and remember I was a Pentecostal preacher, so the only book that I read was this one. I did not read concordances, I did not read commentaries, I did not read all kinds of other things. The only thing that only book that I read was this book. And I had a lot of this book committed to memory, which I still do. So whenever I begin to look into the message and realize that the message said the same thing, this already said. So to find an element of people that basically would make fun of love or make light of love, I did not understand that. And let me say tonight, I still don't understand it. But I've run into many people over the years in different groups that seem to have the same mentality. That if you talk about love, then they think in their mind, you know, you're shallow, you're not very deep, you don't have very much understanding. And to preach on love, you know, well, anybody can love. I disagree with that. The only ones that can love what I'm talking about are born of God. Then as I looked at this and looking at different groups of people that have had this same mentality, that basically preachers would make fun of other preachers preaching perfect love. So if they hear that myself or Brother David or Brother Terry or whoever was preaching on perfect love, then it become ridicule. Excuse me. So they laugh at you. Oh, he's preaching perfect love. Anybody can preach that. Anybody might be able to preach it, but everybody can't have it. So you're saying, why would people want to do such a thing? That they would make light of something that is so impossible to have without divine intervention from God. Why would anyone want to make light of preaching just what we read here tonight? Why would anyone want to make fun of something that Brother Branham tells us, thus saith the Lord, lay aside everything until you get perfect love. Then how could people who say they believe him turn around and ridicule or make fun or make light of something that we have of thus saith the Lord attached to? Praise the Lord. Now, you'll not find him saying, thus saith the Lord, lay aside everything till you get deep. Thus saith the Lord, lay aside everything till you become mean as a devil. Grouchy, contrary, hateful, on and on and on. You'll never find that. Pray for him. Now, but we know that if Satan cannot stop God's word from being written, and he cannot stop God's word from being preached, then it is Satan's design and desire to counteract that which has been said and that which has been preached in a way to minimize the effect and pull away what God intends for it to be. Now, you think here that Paul, as we know, was writing in answer to something, a conflict that was going on in the Corinthian church. And they were supernatural people. They were spiritual people. They were gifted people. And they love that. And we do too. We believe in all that. But yet they had emphasized so much on the supernatural gift part. And Paul wanted to emphasize to them they could have that without having this. But let me say, if you've got charity, you will have gifts too. But gifts will be in the proper order and in the proper perspective. But you can have gifts without having charity. You can preach, you can be so deep, have such great understanding, and still not have this charity. Right. Now, so when in looking at this, keep in mind now our setting is the Song of Solomon. And the Lord Jesus is seeing in his bride things that are so overwhelming to him that he's answering back to her and telling her to turn her eye away from him, and that one chain of her necklace has so overcome him and he's so overwhelmed by her. And then we think, with what? What is it about us that would do this to him? What is it that would overwhelm him in such a way that he would say, turn away from me? And then we look and see that it would have to be something of him in her that would be so overwhelming. The miraculous work that he's done in her life is what he's beholding. Amen. It certainly is not us. It's not our goodness, it's not our works, it's not our faithfulness, it's none of that, it's him. This is what overwhelms him. So when he sees this fragrance or these scents of these divine attributes of God, and the north wind blows these attributes out of you back into his presence, it is himself expressed in feminine form that he is overwhelmed by, especially knowing what we were before he got a hold of us. So whenever we look at this and we realize it's no wonder that Satan would want to minimize the effect or the power that this would have on people's lives. Now, to say, well, love, 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 and, you know, most every church talks about love and preaches love. And Satan has done that so that it would water down or take away the effect of the real love of God. Now, we know that love comes in degrees and in portions. And we know the true love of God is eternal. Gifts are not eternal. Tongues is not eternal. Prophecy is not eternal. Preaching is not eternal. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. You realize in heaven there'll be no faith. Faith will become sight. There won't be no hope. There won't be nothing that you're reaching out for because it'll be visible there. But even in eternity, there will always be this kind of love. There'll be no preachers that'll be preaching. There'll be no prophesying. But yet there will be this love which never ends. So this love is absolutely eternal. But if you can get in your mind that from eternity, love as it keeps coming down and funnels down, it becomes smaller, it becomes more impure, it can become more human, and it can become all absolutely corrupt. But it comes from the main source of eternal love, which is charity. Now, this is the essence of what Paul is conveying, that in the heart of every believer, they are reflecting these attributes of what God has divinely done in their hearts. So they are living out and treating others what charity is. Charity is not the measure of love that you have for God, but charity is the measure of love that you have for others. Oh yeah, God's a lot easier to love than I am. Well, I'm going to say it about you all too. God's a lot easier for me to love than you all. Why? Because of the human part. Now, our souls, sure, we love, but why? Where do we clash? The human part. I have no problem with Jesus, do y'all? Y'all have a problem with Jesus' temper, his makeup, his disposition, his character? I don't either. But boy, don't ask me about some of you all now. Now, don't y'all ask about me, because you might as well say, man, you know it's the truth. Because that is the part of where we have our difficulties, is with one another. And this is the love that Paul is emphasizing, not the love that a Christian has for God. Oh, God, I love you so much. You're just everything to me. I love you so much. That's not the problem. The problem is being able to have this type of love for those who get under your skin. And they get under your skin with a roll of barbed wire, and they leave it under your skin, and they crawl out. And they aggravate you, and they get on your nerves, so to speak. And this is what the church needs in the hour that we're living. Now, it's amazing, because only the ecclesia, or the elect of God, will ever be able to have this kind of love. Although, millions and millions of them say, oh, we love, we love, we love. And they got this ooey-gooey, buttery, molasses type of stuff, you know, that don't ever preach nothing, don't never say nothing, and they call that love. It is love. It is Laodicean lukewarm love, but it will not put you in a rapture. I want the real love that'll whoop you, it'll wear you out. It loves you so much, it loves your soul more than it loves your wallet. It loves your soul more than it loves your feelings, and it will tell you the truth. Amen. Do others not have love? They do. But look where it's come from. Kind of come way down into here to Laodicea. It's so rotten and so vile and so corrupt. That love will not endure. That love is not eternal. I want the kind of love that when I leave this world, it will go right back into eternity where it came from. Now, I don't want to make you sick, your stomach starting right out, but you understand gays and lesbians, they have love for one another. I know most of us can't understand that and can't comprehend it. Thank God we can't. But they do. They have some sort of love for each other. Is it that love that came from eternity? It is not. God never made Adam and Steve. Or Mary and Eve. Come on now. But do they love one another? They do. Can a man fall in love with another man's wife? Could he? He could. Would he love her? He would. Is it rotten? It is. Is it corrupt? It is. Is it love? It is. But it keeps coming down, coming down, coming down. And as it does, it becomes more vile, more rotten, and more corrupt. This is not what Paul is talking about. Now, let me ask you this in the form of a question, then I'll answer it for you so you won't have to answer. Does charity have the attribute of hate? Does charity have the attribute of hate? Now, let's take a little view here tonight from the Old Testament. Let's read, if you would, in Psalms 139, verse 21. Let's look just a little bit now on the Old Testament view of hate. We're living in a world that's full of hate. They got lots of Christians sitting in churches, got hate in their hearts. Amen. Listen to David. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And the church said, but now hang on. You realize David had no scripture that told him to hate these people. Now, when you look at the Hebrew word, It's amazing how the folks overlook this, but the Bible tells us that Leah was hated. But when you look at the setting of the Hebrew word is she was loved less than Rachel. It does not mean that her husband actually hated her with human hatred. It meant that her husband loved her less than he loved Rachel. Come on now. You see, friend, if we don't set the scripture in the way the scripture makes it, we can make this Bible a horrible book. We can make the message exactly the same way. This is exactly the way God hated Esau. Oh my, y'all getting quiet on me already. Now, what's this? So David said, I hate them which hate you, which means he loved them less than he loved those who love God. But notice what he's basing it on. Now, David is not using a human hatred in that where people, you know, have this terrible, terrible bitterness and all this against an individual, and it turns into a hatred. David is not using a human hatred, but David said, I hate those that hate you. Why is he hating these people? On the basis of their attitude toward God. So he says, I hate them with a perfect, and the word there is complete. It is a complete hatred. I do not feel the same toward them people as I do toward those who love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now watch, in Malachi chapter 1. Now here we have an example where David said he hated. Let's look and see what the Bible says about God. God says, Malachi chapter 1 verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Yeah. All right, which is the exact same Hebrew words that are used for Leah and Rachel. I loved Esau less. Praise the Lord. Now, once you notice this first, you got to read it carefully again. You make the Bible say something it didn't say. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Yet this never happened in the days of Esau himself. It happened in the days of the posterity of Esau. This never happened to Esau. Esau had a whole bunch of young'uns and a whole bunch of grand young'uns and a whole bunch of property and all kinds of stuff. Yet in reading this, if you did not read the rest of it, it would make you think God did this to Esau the person. Reread it. God never did this to Esau the person, but to his posterity. Praise the Lord. Now you know why that God could actually hate Esau, love him less than he loved Jacob? There's one key. All of those of you tonight that can fulfill this one thing that I'm going to read to you, you have perfect liberty from the Word of God to hate everyone. But you got to have this one key. Brother Bam says, can God, who is just, when he could say to Esau or Jacob before either boy was born or done right or wrong, I hate Esau and love Jacob. It's because that by foreknowledge. Now everyone in Happy Valley, everyone in the message, everyone in the world who has foreknowledge of people's destiny, that would allow you to hate. Poor old devil. I mean, I love getting him in a corner, you know, just da 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 da. All of those of you who have foreknowledge, you have the right, by God, to hate. Because this is the way the prophet said God hated Esau. Now, it was not that God, look, I don't like you. You done this to me and you die. I'll tell you one thing. That's human hatred. But God could hate Esau because God foresaw what Esau would be. Now, if we project that we can hate, we cannot do it justly unless we do it by foreknowledge. So those of you who feel like you can hate tonight, you better just lay it down. It's because that by foreknowledge he knowed what Esau was and what Jacob was. He knows what's in man before the foundation of the world. He knowed it. Again, let me give you three witnesses now. Esau and Jacob, before either child was born, had a way to even make a decision when they was going to do. God said, I hate Esau and love Jacob. Because God knew what they were before the world was ever formed. So God could say this on the basis of foreknowledge. So you and I cannot hate like God unless we have foreknowledge. Amens are appreciated. They're not required, but they are appreciated. He didn't say, hey, now I'm going to choose you and I'm going to send you to hell. I'm going to choose you and send you to hell. That wasn't God's idea. He wanted all of us to come to heaven. And if you're a Christian, you want everybody to go. And if you don't, you better get the Holy Ghost. Because it's not His will that any should perish. He knows they won't, but He don't want them to go to hell. Notice he said he wanted all of us to come to heaven, but being God, he foreknew who would come and who would not come. Talking of Esau and Jacob, God said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. His foreknowledge. So preachers who hate, singers who hate, Christians who hate, because so-and-so did something against me and I'm hating like God, you are not telling the truth. God never hated Esau because Esau did something to him. By foreknowledge. Oh my, his foreknowledge let him know that Esau was nothing but a little shyster anyhow. And Jacob had recompense of that birthright. So see, his foreknowledge lets him know, if he didn't know the end from the beginning, that he wasn't God. Aren't you glad of that, friends? Now, let's move now from the Old Testament view, and that's brief, I know, but let's go to the New Testament. The words of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, won't you notice how Jesus says this? Jesus is not quoting scripture. He is quoting their tradition. Listen now. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. God never said that. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. But the doctors of the law, they based on this verse of scripture, because God never said love your enemies, then they could hate, or rather hate their enemies, that they could hate them. Oh my. Watch this to the historian Tacitus, speaking of the Jews. Their fidelity, says Tacitus, is inviolable. And their pity, all ready towards one another. But unto all others, they bear an implacable hatred. Speaking of the Jews. Now, the law told them, according to the scripture I just read you, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But the law never said the Philistines or the Amorites or the Hittites. So because it didn't say them, then they can bear a grudge against them. Now look what that simple scripture had turned into when Jesus come on the earth. Oh my. Listen to this carefully now. The Pharisees taught that one should love those that are near and dear to them, based on the scripture Leviticus 19:18, but that Israel's enemy should be hated. Oh, I see. So it's Pharisee doctrine. Do you realize Pharisee doctrine has infiltrated this message? So then if you don't believe the Perugia, the Seventh Thunder, or whatever doctrine that it is, basically, they hate you.
Is that the teaching of the scripture? It is not. Is that the teaching of the message? It is not. It is the teaching of the Pharisees. Woo! There, the Pharisees thus implied that their hatred was God's means of judging their enemies. Then God was hating through them. Isn't it amazing? With 2,000 years, all the Pharisees have been dead. But that devil that was on them sure ain't dead. Don't you understand why, friends? It's easier to hate than it is to love. It's easier to hold a grudge than it is to forgive. It's easier to stand up for our own flesh than it is to crucify it. Oh my. Now watch Jesus. Boy, it ain't no wonder that they hated him. He laid their tradition low, didn't he? Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. This was found in one of the caves near where the Essenes lived, Qumran. The manual of discipline from Qumran contains the following rule: to love all that he has chosen and hate all that he has rejected. These were the Essenes in the days of Jesus 2,000 years ago. If we're not careful, our message will be riddled with the same theology from the Essenes. We hate all the Baptists. We hate all the Methodists. We hate all of them. You can hate whoever you want to. I ain't hating them. I pray for them that God will open their eyes and God will help them. Hey, you know what? If they're going to be lost, why not let them have a little bit of love right now? Why not let them have a little bit of glimpse of what a Savior's all about? So can a man really with charity inside of his heart, and a man is being dominated by this prevalent force of charity, then can that man hate with human hatred? Totally impossible. Well, how many is glad we're in church tonight? Nah. What's now Jesus in verse 44 says, but I say unto you. Now you've heard that this group said it this way, and you've heard this group said it that way, and the Essenes said this, and the Pharisees said that, and some of the other people said this. That's what they said. But this is what I say. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Do you understand? These three words you have just heard are some of the most profound words that have ever been uttered since man started talking in the Garden of Eden. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Don't pray they'll have a rat going home. Don't pray the storm will pass by and, you know, cave in their house. Come on, children. Hallelujah. My. Now, you know there's two different kinds of love that we're looking at here. Can you and I love with the same depths and degree of love and feeling an individual who curses God's name, who curses the message, who blasts the prophet of God? Will we have the same type of feel toward them as we do a brother and sister who goes to church with us, who believes the revealed word of the hour? We won't. God doesn't. God doesn't look at a man tonight that's sitting on a bar stool, sitting there drinking and going to get himself drunk, go home, beat his wife, beat his young'uns, and he looks at him and he looks at you sitting in the house of God with the same degree of love. Does God love them? He does. But you're his wife. I look at you tonight and I love you, but I've got a wife sitting here. I've got grandkids and children sitting here. Do I look at them and love them in a different way? I most certainly do. Why? Because it is a degree of love that you do not share. You are not my children. Oh, thank God. Now, the one is called the love of complacency. It is one that the feeling by which we approve of the conduct of others, and the other one is a love of benevolence. Now, we look at them and we divide the loves and we separate them, and it is a lesser love. Do we want anything bad to happen to our enemies? We do not. Do we want them to be lost, go to hell? Myself, I don't know of anyone. I don't want to go to hell, do you? I certainly do not. I don't know of anyone that I would ever wish to such a place. But do I love them the same as I would you, my brothers and sisters? It's totally impossible for me to do that. Love must strive for a place or a basis of compatibility. This is what the coming of the Lord Jesus was to the earth. We were not lovable in the state we were in. And God came in the form of a man to make us lovable. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it's impossible for us to love a man, his ways, his attitude, his cursing. Oh, can we love that? If you do, there's something wrong with you. Now watch, Jesus says, love your enemies. This is totally unnatural. This goes against our self-preservation mechanism that's built up in us. It's built in us after the fall, but the very work and art of self-preservation, it's built within us to defend ourselves, to revenge ourselves. So I've got to love my enemies. Does that mean I love what they post, their lies? It's another. No. I love their conduct, Brother Jim. I love their ill ways or foul ways. No. But do I want anything bad to happen to them? No. Why? Because I love them. Can I put my arm around them like I can some of you brothers and say, brothers, let's walk right down the street to go together. I can only do that if they'll let me do it. And if they don't want to go, I can't help that. Amen. You imagine Jesus saying, love your enemies, not your conduct. Not your character, not your language, but the person of your enemy. Amen. Preach, Brother Donnie. Oh, my. Nobody but God would impose such a yoke of self-destruction upon his followers. What leader in his right mind? What conqueror? What man that was looking for a following would want to impose such a thing upon his followers? To be like me, you've got to love your enemies. Yes, sir. To walk where I walk. To be what I am. Amen. Even to be my children. This is what you have to do. Most men, if they want to revolt, they want somebody that could pull a sword as it was in the days when they were used swords. Today, they're looking for people and to join ISIS and this and that and the other. Who do they want? They want people discontented with society. They want people who's got a troubled background and they don't like the police and they don't like this and they don't like that. You understand what I'm saying? What does it do? It draws a certain mentality of people. You and I, most of us, oh Lord, I'd never do something like that. Of course you wouldn't. It's because you don't fit in that category. But they're all offering them something, and there's something inside of them that responds to what they're offering. Glory! Don't you understand? The Lord Jesus is offering back to his elect, which came from the very heart of God, something they know they have to have, but it's so contrary to the entire human makeup. What is it? Supreme, eternal love. Oh my. I wonder if this is where Paul is coming from in Romans 12:20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him rat poison. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the message version there of Romans 12:20. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. And this man was a former Pharisee. So you can imagine when the north wind blew through Paul's life and the Spirit of God was able to blow this great, great work of God into the nose of the Lord Jesus, coming from a former Pharisee who was taught by his great teachers to hate your enemies, despise them, and God will use you to bring judgment. He acted out what he believed, children. This is why he was hunting down the Christians. Notice Paul. Look at the spirit Paul was under. He was acting out the teaching of hatred. This is what makes message folks do what they do. This is what makes those who pull away from the message do what they do. They're acting from the spirit that they're receiving their teaching under. Butcher, kill, lie, steal. Oh my. Notice Jesus again. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. And do good. Do good to them that hate you. Whew. It's been a while since I've smelt that smell, but I do recognize it. Can you imagine that you would actually do good to somebody who would hate you? And you don't just do it once. Well, whenever God will allow the opportunity to arise, you may have to do it again and again and again. Why? So the north wind can blow this fragrance into the presence of the King. You who all of your life held grudges since you were that tall. And I mean, you'd get back at people if it was the last thing you done on this earth. And God let several people hate you. I mean, run you down. Do everything in the world to just, you know, do everything they were can do to put pressure on you. And yet God let this virtue come out of your life. Can you imagine what it does to Him when He sees what you were? And the potential that, remember, still lays in this. This is what's the victory about. The potential of that avenging ourselves is still there every day of our life. Wow. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This, my friends, breathes out the true spirit of Christianity. Remember, these are not the words of a preacher or a deacon. This is the founder of Christianity, Christ Himself. These are not the words of a Pharisee. These are the words of the heart of God. Oh my. Now notice how Jesus, leading up from verse 43 up to verse 44, and then consummates these two verses in verse 45. That you may be the... Oh. So you mean verse 43 and verse 44 proves who your daddy is? Of verse 45. This is why folks can't do this. They got the message spirit on them. They got the preacher spirit on them. Come on. Or they got a church spirit on them or daddy spirit on them. But if you've got the spirit of your father on you, you'll do like he does. Oh, Brother Donnie, he preached hard, but you're only telling half the story. He called him a bunch of devils and serpents. He'd, oh, but you're only preaching half the story. I want to hear the other half. Because I'm a whole gospel preacher, not a half. That ye may be the children. Now notice, being good to your enemies, praying for them that despitefully use you, and casting your name out as evil and persecuting you, this is a true sign of sonship. Amen. It's not speaking in tongues, shouting, jumping, even saying we believe the prophet. I believe the message. That's not what Jesus said. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now notice how he likens the parallel of the children of God acting on the earth to the way the Father God acts in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So your children will imitate by their love. They are imitating sunlight and pouring rain. So we shake hands with message people, and we're real nice to message people if we agree with them, of course, in their doctrine. And then everybody else, we treat them like dirt, scumbag, filth, off scouring. That's not the way God does. My, this week, the first couple of days of this week, so beautiful and warm. Everybody, y'all thought spring was here, didn't you? Oh, my, and you know what? You wasn't the only one. Sinners got out, and they were so happy, and they stripped their clothes off. Couldn't wait to get their shorts off. And did God say, hey, 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 don't die. I ain't sending no son to you bunch of rebels down there. You men out there, them naughty knees of yours, hang around. I ain't put no son on you, bunch of devils. But they got out, stripped down, and enjoyed that son just like you and I did. According to Jesus himself, this is the way we act like God. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus wouldn't say, in order to be like God, you've got to hate. As a matter of fact, we know of one person in the Bible that God mentions by personal name that he said he hated. And that was Esau. But you never find no scripture where he ever tells you to do the same. As a matter of fact, you find him when he come on the earth telling you the exact opposite. Ouch. You see, friends, this is the best example of all the things Jesus could have used to prove divine sonship. When you, by nature, by inherit nature, it's just as automatic as any other thing that's automatic to you. You don't have to make yourself do it, discipline yourself to do it. Oh, not saying the other flesh won't fight you. But when you're living under communion, the fellowship of the Spirit of God within your soul, it's just as natural for you to love your enemies as it is natural for your enemy to hate you. Because both of you are living under the influence of your Father. Imagine what a spice to flow out of our lives. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren, and the word salute is a token of civility, just being nice and just being kind, and shalom, as they would say, or whatever more, peace, peace be unto you. So if you're just nice to those that are your brothers, What more do you than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. And the word is finished, complete, pure, holy, originally. It applied to a piece of mechanism as a machine that is complete in its parts. Applied to men, it refers to the completeness of parts or perfection when no part is defective or wanting. So you mean being perfect is not measured by how deep you are? How much you think you know, or how much you'd speak in tongues, or how much we'd preach, or how much we would understand this and this. Oh, is that not part of it? It is. But look what Satan has done for so many. He's emphasized that so much. Why? It's so much easier for people to produce, I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and I understand, and I see, and I see, and I see, than it is this. Lord Jesus. You imagine, friends, that God expects His children to live on a plane that is so much higher than the world can ever touch. Now, do I expect everybody to do this? Absolutely not. Do I expect everybody here tonight to do it? No, I don't. Do I expect everybody that comes to Happy Valley to do this? I do not. I'm preaching this to the elect. To the rest of you. I feel sorry for it if you can't do it. I really do. I feel sorry for it if you can't do it. If you just sit around and hear this preached, I feel sorry for you. But for those of you who can attain to it, I bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless you. Amen. And I exhort you, move higher and higher and higher into this realm that God has called us to walk into. We are not called to walk like mortal men. We're not called to walk like Laodicea. We are called to walk in divine favor. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can I go on? Notice in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, Luke says it this way, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Boy, this rubs us. It hurt my feelings to know that people talk about Brother David. Run him down, tell things on him. But there's just something about it. It don't hurt me near as bad as when they do me. They put YouTube videos about Brother David on there. I say, man, I'll tell you one thing. I don't understand why in the world they'd do that to a man of God. But if they do that to me, don't sit there and look at me and flap your wings. You're just like me. We don't like it when folks treat our family bad or this or that. But boy, when it comes down to this. Because just face the truth. I love me more than anybody. Don't sit there and look at me like I'm weird. You're just like me. Did you feed me before church or you? Whose hair did you comb? Yours or mine? It's a love-hate relationship I have with me. I love me. Oh, I'm in love with me. I love me so much, but I hate me. So naturally, when people do things against me, say things against me. Especially when it's lies. I don't like it. There's one thing I'm going to take with me when I leave this world. It is my character. And for people to try to run down my character, it bothers me. I won't take no money. You won't take no money. We'll take none of that. But the thing I've given my life for is the cause of Christ. To try to represent me as a hypocrite, a devil, a liar. I know what I've given to Him all of my life. I know what I've sacrificed, and to be represented as a hypocrite. First John chapter 2 verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Why? Because the gospel light is so contrary to hate. So for a person who says they're in the light, the transforming power of God, and then they hate their brother. Amen. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Now listen, friend, what a thing John is saying. If a man says that he's walking in the light, but yet he hates his brother, amen, he's still walking in darkness. The light has done him no good. Even though he could smoke and he could drink and he could lie and he could do all this, another might even be a preacher. He's quit doing all this according to the Bible. That light has done him no good. And then preachers want to make fun of this kind of preaching. People in the message want to make fun. Oh, anybody can do that, really? Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. A man that loves like this, hold on, will never fall. Now why didn't John say he that loves God? He that loves the message, there's no occasion of stumbling in him. Why, brother? This is the sticky part. This is the part that tells who you are. You can love this and hate me. You can love the message and hate all kinds of people. Amen. Mm-hmm. The word here, brother, is used in connection with this. It's not just those of your own faith. It's the human race. Whew. Look at verse 11. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. He's not aware of the snares and the pits and all the things that's in front. No matter how much he says, now, I'm in the light. Bless God, I see this and I believe that. Oh my. How sad. How sad. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Children, this is serious. How many murders are in this message? How many murders are standing in the pulpits? If you don't go along with them, buddy, they'll blast you. They'll do this and that and the other. Oh my, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now look, so sin, this sin of being a murderer, would be judged by disposition, not by act. Because most of these people will never kill anybody physically, but by disposition. And this is the way God looks at them. That God, oh, you've heard about it this week of this pilot that they think crashed his plane. Oh, how terrible, how terrible. And it was. But I wonder if some of you aren't guilty of taking many more lives than he did. With this right here. Or on your Facebook or on all that trash. Running people down. Come on. The prophet said you can kill a man by killing his influence. Stick a gun to him. Most of you never murdered. There ain't no way in the world you could ever get yourself to murder anybody. Throw a knife in their back. Blow their brains out. No way. But it's easy for this. especially when it's set on fire of hell. So God says a man that is a murderer by disposition. By disposition, this is in him. Oh, I'd love to kill him. I can't kill him, but I'll run him down. I'll run his confidence. That's what I'll do. I'll try to do. You're a murderer. Can charity do this? Can a man, a woman, boy or girl who's living under the power of charity, can they do this? No. No. Now a person, I believe, can have the Holy Ghost and grieve away the influence of its power in their lives. And they will start acting and doing in certain ways that he would never let them do if they were under his control. And you can become so bitter and so disagreeable that the Holy Spirit cannot stand to live in that kind of atmosphere. Notice, let me find a place to close here. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. I want you to notice, John doesn't say that he says he hates his brother. Now he doesn't say, I love God, but I hate Aaron. I love God, but I sure hate Terry. He don't have to say it at all. He says, I love God, but in his heart, he hates. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, read it with me. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So what seeing got to do with loving? Well, apparently John thought it did. What is our problems with our brothers? It's many times things we see. So John said, if you cannot love those who you see and know about, how can you love a being that you've never seen? Maybe you'll see something about him you don't like. Well, praise the Lord. Let me read you a few things and we'll close. Let's see what the message says now, just a little bit. You can't associate night and day together. Neither can you associate belief and unbelief together. And when you find unbelief, it's accompanied by hatred. And if you find faith, it's accompanied by love. For love creates faith. And without faith, why, you can't have love. So then unbelief will be accompanied by hatred. Praise the Lord. Brother, fruits, you know them. Who was that? Lucy or something about Lucy, something other. I love Lucy. Some of them programs like that. I don't watch her nonsense. I read my Bible. I love to serve the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. That's what we need today. That's what we're getting out of the will of God. That's where you've moved back. No wonder you can hate your neighbor and everything else and still carry on like that. You can have the love of God in your heart and do that. You can't hate your neighbor and have the love of God in your heart. Brother Donnie, you don't know what he's done to me. I did. No. You're misunderstanding. This is not my words. These are his words. And that's nothing to do with me understanding and me knowing all the background. That has nothing to do with that. It has to do with him who knows all things. God's life is in the individual, he said, and you're sealed by unto the day of redemption. That's the seal of God. And when you do, you become Christ-like. And you love those that hate you. You're for one purpose. Do the will of the Father. Bring in all the brothers. Oh my. Put your arms around your enemies. and love them. Now I realize you can only do that if the enemy will let you. And some enemies, if you try to do that to you, you might all go out mangled. So what happened to you? I tried to hug my enemy. So use a little wisdom. He says again, a peace that passes all understanding comes in you. I love this. Till you can hate no more. Did you see, friends, why I message folks have got to make excuses why they've got to hate? They're missing this. If a person really gets this right in the right place down in the soul, from that soul, you will never hate again. Amen. Oh, thank God. Till you can hate no more, you can envy no more, until something that makes you love the worst enemy you ever had. Not imagination. Something that'll go, oh my, keep you from talking about the neighbor that persecutes you. Oh my goodness, you mean it'll not only make you love them, but it will make you not talk about them. Oh, I'm going to get down here right now because it might be safer. I'm just getting over the flu. I don't want to be rocked. You mean the Holy Ghost will not only stop us from hating them, but stop us from talking about them? We need to move up, Happy Valley. It'll make you pray for those who are indifferent and ugly towards you. You can't love God and hate at the same time. I would certainly like to hear some of these quotes being preached. What's our problem? Well, see, if you can't do this, then what you have to do is make an excuse. Why? But if you knew what I've been through, you'd know why I hate. I know why you hate. Because you don't have the right degree of the Holy Ghost yet. You can't love God and hate at the same time. Bitter and sweet water won't come from the same fountain. You can have speaking in tongues and divine healing in the church and still envy and strife and malice and hatred. You can't do it. It won't mix. God will pull it out just as sure as the world. This is why charity, a heart that is so full of charity, and under that power, this power is a dominion, a throne, a dominion, a kingship. This is where that the Bible says, let not sin reign over you. And the word reign is basilio, which is be king in your life. Or reign over you. What does God want to reign over His elect, Brother Jim? His own divine love. Not this tempered down, watered down, molasses, butter on the biscuit, honey type of thing. I'm talking about from the original source. Amen. Hallelujah. Even the love we have for our wives and our children, that itself is not eternal. It will be done away with when we go back into eternity. We will not look at our wives the way we look at them now. This is from the source of eternal love. Oh, praise God. Brother Bam said many people tonight who can shout and speak in tongues and run up down the aisle and hate their neighbor. Brother, you're lost yet. Lord, have mercy, children. So people could run up and down an aisle and shout and scream and speak in tongues and hate your neighbor, and a prophet of God said you're lost? Don't sit there and think in your mind this is not serious. This would be worse than a poor woman walking here during the night on dope or something else, lost as she could be. At least she'd know it. but a person running up and down the aisle and screaming and hollering, quoting the prophet and grill or whatever they're doing, and have hate in the heart, and for that person to be lost. Lord Jesus. Brother, you're lost yet. That's hard to say, but that's the truth. Right? Overcome, and you can only overcome when you say, I'm eating manna, glory to God, yes, but look what happens from one day to the other. You get the missed meal cramps. Come in where the manna's fresh all the time. Whether your neighbor treats you right or not, you'll love him anyhow. Why? It ain't based on the way he treats you. It's based on your birth. It's not based on, well, he treats me okay. That has nothing to do with it. The reason we treat people good is because where we're from. Amen. It's not about, well, I'm going to do good. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'll scratch yours whether you scratch mine or not. And I won't scratch it with a jackhammer either. I won't scratch it with a Colt 45. Well, I can only do good to those who do good to me. You need the Holy Ghost. Oh, my. Whew. Let's stand and I'll read a few more. Change your position here. We'll go a little bit different direction in the morning, Lord willing. My, my. Let's go down, Brother Brad, to question and answers 1959. Paragraph 475. Skip a couple of these quotes there. You never cast out a devil by the wrong attitude. It takes love to do that. And love is the most powerful force that there is in the world. And if you'll notice, a devil is always hate. Hate is of the devil. Then when the Bible tells us that God hated Esau, it cannot be with the same source of hate that this is. Now come on, children, we've got to make the word say true. If we're not, we're going to make it a lie. Won't you listen how terrible hate is? Hate is of the devil. And when people hate someone, remember, it's a terrible devil. Listen, not to hate, to despise or dislike. Lord, have mercy. It is a devil that gets on us. You blame it on your makeup if you want to. You blame it on your nature. Well, it's the way it is in my family. Call it what it is. A devil. Amen. And Brother Branham says, a terrible devil. It is a terrible devil to despise or dislike. You mustn't do that. That day on Calvary, you're taking Christ's place, your son's. So don't live for yourself. Live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's sure a nice man. That's not it. Live for that man who hates you. Live for that person who'd kill you if they could. My friends, this is why we have to make excuse. Listen to this. That's what they done to him. They killed him and he died that he might save them. He died that he might save them. Not you that was bribed. Them. That's eternal life. When that's in your bosom, you're facing heaven then. So shout, jump, run, speak in tongues, preach deep mysteries all you want to. If you ain't got this, brother. If we ain't got this, we're not looking heaven in the face yet. Smyrnian church age, don't let root of bitterness ever get into your soul. If you do, it'll canker you. Right, keep love. I don't care how much people hate you, you love them anyhow. If you can't do it, you ain't sealed. You ain't sealed. You ain't sealed. You got a loose place yet. Come on back and get that sealed up real good with the blood of Christ. It'll cleanse you from all that root of bitterness. Let me read the last one here. Christ the mystery. Listen to this prayer. Lord, don't never let me have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him. It'll take the Christ right out of my life. Not adultery, not smoking, not drinking, not running around. And we know those things will do it too. But can you imagine a person could be so sanctified? They never smoke. They never chew. They never look at pornography. They never do any of that. But yet they let the root of bitterness get down inside their heart. And it starts cankering them like a canker or a gangrene. And watch what it does to Christ. Christ can't live in a cankered heart. Amen. Dear Jesus, it'll take the Christ right out of my life. Poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred. Take the Holy Spirit right away from you. Now, can you imagine this person has done something to you and they're the one that's wrong? They've done you terrible. They blasted you, whatever that they've done to you. And yet the bitterness gets in you and it starts growing in you and growing in you. And that will drive the very Christ you have out of your own life. And you're not even the one who started it. You're not even the one who done all this. They done it. But you allowed the bitterness to start growing and growing. And remember, the Bible calls it a root, which means it's buried under the ground. And for many of us, by the time it peeks its head up, it's already gigantic in our hearts. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I said that was the last one, but can I read one more? Pardon in Tucson. Brother Bram said, how can you hate your brother who you do see and despise him and say you love God who you have not seen? You become a liar. And the truth is not in you. Let's bow our heads together. Can charity hate? Can a man, a woman, a boy or girl whose heart is full of this great, powerful love hate? Oh, they'll hate sin, sure. The proper way to hate, friends, is, as the prophet said it over and over again, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Is that the message? Over and over again. You'll never find Brother Bram saying, God hates the sinner and the sin. That's Pharisee doctrine. Let's come into the message. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I want to be a Christian. A perfect, matured son of God. So Jesus would look at me and said, you're a child of your Father which is in heaven. Oh my. How many wants this in your life? In a more full way. Many of you already have it. You already are manifesting this, but you want it to be in a more full way in your life. Heavenly Father, you see the hands in the visible audience, no doubt folks out streaming the service and those that will go back and archive it. I pray, God, you'd help us. Lord Jesus, what good does it do us to run and scream and holler about the seven thunders and great deep mysteries and hate in our hearts? I wonder how many preachers that are preaching this message and screaming and hollering and running and shouting, but down in their heart they hate other preachers or other people. What good will it do, Lord, if we don't turn from that? When your own prophet that preached the seven thunders preached this as well. And said, if we do that and we have hate in our heart to our brother, we are still lost. Why don't those quotes matter, Lord? Why don't things like that have value to people? They do to us. They do to us, Lord. I believe these quotes I've read tonight just as much as I believe the seal book. I believe these just as much as I believe Feast of the Trumpets, Future Home, all these great deep mysteries. For I know Satan can repeat every mystery. He can repeat every mystery once it's uttered. But he cannot love this way. And I realize millions of Christians can talk about Christ, talk about the love of God and the blood and the cross, but they cannot love this way. And I'm beginning to realize as we go on how many more around the message are the same way. They can talk about Brother Branham. They can talk about the events at Tucson and Finger Rock and the great things that happened. And when it comes to this, having this in their soul, where they don't envy, they don't hate, they're not puffed up, they're not arrogant, they're not selfish, they're not bitter. Lord Jesus, how many are there among us? Help us, Father, I pray. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Oh, let the trials of life come at your discretion, Father. Let the south wind subside. And let the north wind blow this into the presence of the King. As we sit at the banqueting table, and the spikenard, and the myrrh, and the frankincense, and the aloes begin to arise from our soul. As the wind begins to blow your direction, and it permeates your being. And you look at a man or a woman that in their flesh still has the potential of all those things that are there. But there is a new King in the throne of their heart. Hallelujah. He dominates their life. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If there's anybody here tonight, or that's here, listen to me. You don't have to say it out if you don't want to. But if there's any bitterness in your heart toward anybody, any bitterness toward God, God took a loved one out of your family and you've had a problem with it ever since. You've lost a job or this or that or the other. Whatever it is, it would try to cause it. Toward God, toward your brother, your sister. Why don't you just in your heart make an altar right there. Lord, take this out of me. Take this out of me, Lord. Don't let this thing turn into a destructive power that will destroy me. Though I still go to church and I still sit in a message pew. Brother Donnie's my pastor and I believe. But yet, Lord, I'm becoming bitter. I'm becoming bitter toward my wife, my husband, my children. Take this out of me, Lord. Glory to God. Help me that I can love like you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Lord Jesus, we want to be so deep that from the deepest recesses of our souls, you are the King of our being. That you not only lead us to mysteries, you lead us to forgiveness. You lead us to the ultimate of your commands. Love as I love. Forgive as I forgive. Live as I live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Can we raise our hands in the presence of the King? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whatever your need is, children. Or if you stand here tonight and you look in your heart and you say, thank God, Brother Donnie, I find no hate. I find no bitterness. You ought to be so happy. You ought to be so happy. Then if I was you, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd give thanks to God for that. And I'd ask Him, Lord, don't never let none get in there either. Just because you ain't got it tonight don't mean that He won't try you tomorrow. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep me free from hate, Lord. Lord, for whatever reason, you've chosen me to be a public type of figure. It's generally either one way or the other with me. Folks either like me or they hate me. And folks that hate me bad. So, Lord, because of that, I'm over the years been put in a spot of scrutiny and criticism and emails and letters and all kinds of stuff everywhere. Lord, help me. Help me that I'll never be bitter, God. Help me I'll never hate. Help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to be a real son. My lot in life is not to be the deepest preacher in the message, My lot was not called to be some of those who handle things that just hold people spellbound. My lot was other areas and avenues. But Lord, help me. Help our church at Happy Valley. Search every heart. Begin up here with me tonight, Lord. Go over to my brother Harry. Search across this platform, Lord, with these brothers. Lord, then begin, whether you will, at the front row and work your way back, or at the back and work your way up. Don't forget the nurseries, Lord. May you look at every heart. Help us, Lord God, that our hearts can be so dominated by this life, which seems so simple, which is ridiculed and made fun of. But yet, Lord, we know only a very, very, very small group of people will ever attain to it. It'll only be the tithing of the earth. Hallelujah. Those spiritual Levites who live in the bride city that'll ever attain to this place with you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. If we don't have it tonight, may we not be satisfied. May we hunger and thirst. Lord, may our food not taste right, our bed not sleep right, until we're so filled with your presence that we can love those that hate us. And Lord, until we find it, it is our nature to do it. That we're not arguing with ourselves, psyching ourselves up, reasoning ourselves through it. But it's just as easy for us to love them as it is for them to hate us. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May the heathens say about us, as they said about our brothers, not Christiana, but Christiana. Christiana. Filled with such love. Filled with such love. That even the emperors would say how they love one another. Not just Christians, but Christian. Christian. Such divine love. Not the gifts, nor miracles, or signs. The love. They were so tapped to the original source. It was still broad in its original spectrum where it came from under the throne. Human love can hardly comprehend it. It staggers the human mind because the human being faces such watered down, polluted love every day to come face to face with this broad river straight from the throne of God of the attributes of eternity. Most people can comprehend it. They can understand the watered down, ooey gooey Laodicea, buttered up honey biscuit flavored love, so called. But to take a hold of this broad river from under the throne of God, from its pure supreme source. Oh Jesus, may my soul be so immersed into this eternity. No wonder Paul went on to say, charity never fails. For whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they shall be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know, Lord, he has given us an insight. In that great eternity, there'll be no prophecies. In that eternity, there will be no tongues. There will be no gnosis, knowledge. But even when we go back into eternity, charity, the very charity I have in my soul tonight, will be the very same thing. It is mine forever. I'll never preach another sermon up there, so my gift of preaching is not the main thing in my soul. It is my charity. So if I'm made famous by my preaching only, something's wrong somewhere, Lord. Since my preaching won't even be exercised there. My charity will outlive my gift. My charity will outlive my understanding of the Word. My charity will outlive, Lord God, what revelation that I have about this message and the doctrines of it, Lord. Charity will birth us right back into that supreme source of eternal love. Oh, Jesus, great Adonai, mighty God, everlasting Father, we worship you. Harry sings, let's just worship him together. It's just loving me, our children. Maybe there's some here tonight. Maybe you've got it. But you just need a fresh baptism. You ever get like that in your life where you just need another filling of the Holy Ghost? Just a stirring, a revival, something moving down in you. Not to add more members to our church, but just to where each one of us are just so refilled with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, may you pass this way tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands as Harry sings. Let's just worship together and open your heart now into the presence of the Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Lord God, would you give me a refilling tonight, Lord? A renewing, oh Lord. Oh Jesus, may that wind of the Holy Ghost sweep in this place tonight, Lord God, I pray. A refueling, a refreshing from the presence of the Lord God. Lord, in this life, the troubles, the things we deal with, Lord. Help us, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus. May you move among us, oh Lord. May there be such a baptism of the Holy Ghost that will baptize us not into gifts, not baptize us into knowledge and wisdom, but baptize us into that source of love. Hallelujah, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Oh, hallelujah.
More love.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
More power.
Thank you, Lord.
More of you in
my life. Let's worship Him now, children.
Come on, stop.
Come on, stop. the love it spoke, hallelujah, and said unto me, oh, rise up my fair one, and come away with me.
Saturate,
hallelujah,
let the north wind blow.
Yes, my God.
Let the north wind,
yes, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the Holy Spirit river flow.
Let the north wind blow,
lover of my soul. For behold, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth again. The time of the rapture is come.
Saturate my soul.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let the river flow.
The time of the rapture is come.
Prince John to know. The lover of my soul.
Who's it for? The beloved. The beloved.
Saturate my soul.
That was your perfect
role. Let the river flow.
Oh, my God.
Let the rapture wane.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the privilege to sit in your great August presence again tonight. We have not been beckoned to the laver on the outside. We have not just been called to where the table of the shewbread is. We've not been called just to view the visage of the menorah. But we've been called into the inner veil, into the inner sanctum. We know, Lord, in the tradition of the Eastern kings, that the king had a room, a place that was far away from even his throne room, away from all the public crowds, that even his family members couldn't come unless they was given an invitation. His counselors, all of the men of his kingdom, called an inner sanctum. There was where the intimate fellowship was given to those who were his closest ones. Oh, Heavenly Father, I sat years ago in the outer court. I rejoiced in Pentecost under the light, and I come to the message of the day, and I begin to see the church ages, the seals and all of that. But Lord, it wasn't just hearing of a prophet messenger that was able to open that to me, but it had to be a personal call from the divine one himself. I thank you, Lord Jesus, I had been called to that inner sanctum. Oh, glory to God. There I walk, I live every day. I thank you for the personal invitation from the King. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we've sat tonight at your table. Feasted upon your word. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back, if it be pleasing to you in the morning, once again, to sit at the table of the King. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. No Sunday school classes in the morning still because of some of the kids that are sick. Let's come back expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Remember, the camp will start next week. Kids will be leaving here Wednesday night, so there'll be no service here Wednesday night. Remember that. So you better get a whole lot in the morning. Better bring another 55-gallon drum with you to store up some to tide you over. Hallelujah. That means it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides.
abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way.
Will he abide? He abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Yes, he abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Yes, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly.
Glory!
All my burdens
are rolled away, for the Comforter abides. Let's sing it now. Oh, He abides. He abides.
Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Yes, He abides. He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Yes, He abides.